Hello, and welcome to Me, the Wife and Wrexham AFC.
A weekly podcast and YouTube channel where we discuss all things Wrexham AFC from the point of view of long-term fans and new fans.
So sit back, put your feet up, relax, and let's get stuck in. Hello and welcome to episode 89 of Me, the Wife and Wrexham AFC. What a frustrating week it has been. Very frustrating.
Yep.
Yeah, massively so. One very good thing to have come out of this week, though. We've had lots of conversation about this for the last sort of week or so, and something really good has happened. Shan has finally watched The Lion King. So nobody needs to worry anymore. She has now seen The Lion King, and you liked it?
Yeah, it was all right.
I think
I would have liked it in 1994 when it came out.
But you liked it, though?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I'm just completely shocked at how much... I was getting so many messages from people saying that there was one guy who messages on Messenger, and you agreed with him.
Yeah.
Basically saying that he was he's watched every episode of our, I think his name was Chris Davis.
Yeah.
He's watched listened or watched, I can't remember which one, every episode of our podcast, and he's never been more disappointed about, well, me, basically.
Didn't he say he was going to boycott it until you'd watched it as well?
Yeah, well, I've watched it now, so you can continue.
You may continue to watch.
I was always going to watch it between last episode and this episode because I just thought,
The abuse that was thrown your way.
It was all in good spirits, though. There wasn't any horrible, any horrible people messaging me.
So, new feature. What film can we make Sharon watch next? No, I'm only joking. But yeah, I'm glad you know. Up to speed, and you know, whenever The Lion King comes up, which is probably never again, at least you will know what we're talking about.
Well, if I talk about Andy Cannon and about The Lion King, then at least I can make references.
There you go. It's all research, isn't it?
It is research, yeah, if you like.
Right, what's gone on in the club this week outside of what's happened on the pitch? So a lot of you might know Arthur Massey. So Arthur featured in both seasons, I think, of a bit more prominent in season one.
Yeah.
But definitely did feature in season two of the Welcome to Wrexham documentary. He turned 100 last week. He was at the game on Saturday.
Humphrey presented him with a shirt saying 100 on it.
Yeah.
Which was just amazing. And maybe some of you know, but maybe some of you don't. He's actually the granddad of Wrexham legend Lee Jones.
Yes, there we go.
Damn, I thought you didn't know that.
No, I did, yeah. So, yeah, happy birthday to you, Arthur. Here's to many more.
Yes, many let's hope more. Yeah. That we get... So for your 99th birthday, we had promotion.
Yeah.
So hopefully for your 100th year on this planet, we get another promotion.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll come on to that. Let's get all the nice, positive stuff out the way first. So if listeners and watchers of the podcast might know a gentleman called Peter, and watchers of the lives that we do at halftime and full-time as well, Peter's always on there, always commenting. His name's Peter Langenecker. He's from Austria. He's from Vienna in Austria. He came over for the MK Dons game at the start of the season. It was obviously not the greatest game. He wanted to come over again for another game. So he chose Saturday. Not the greatest game maybe to come over, but he came over for a day. And we met up with him. We knew he was a lovely guy anyway because we'd spoke to him quite a bit. I didn't really think it was possible, but he's an even lovelier guy than
so, and he's so funny as well.
So funny. I think his sense of humour is very similar to ours. I don't know if that's a general Austrian thing or just a Peter thing, but yeah, he's got a very similar sense of humour to us.
He's lovely.
He came over on Saturday morning. He booked into a hotel right next to the ground. We had a few beers with him in the turf.
More than Ryan should have, probably, on a Saturday.
Went to the game. We organised a fan cam for him for the Welcome to Wrexham documentary, which he was really chuffed with.
Didn't get much
Yeah, and then he was going home today. So, Peter, it was lovely to meet you. It was a good Saturday.
Absolute pleasure.
Football aside, good Saturday, yeah. I would say. Someone else that we met.
Yes.
As well, we met Jay. Jay was from New York, not was from, is
he,
from.
He is from New York.
Is from New York. Yeah. We'd seen lots of stuff that Jay had put on Twitter. He'd sort of visited local businesses. Jay's raised loads of money for the Wrexham food banks over the months as well. He's from New York, as I say, and he's put a lot of effort into raising money for the food banks. Jay was also over for the MK Dons game. I'm just starting to think maybe you guys are a bit of a jinx. I'm not gonna confirm that, but
Jay actually went to the Morecambe game.
He did.
So
yes. Yeah. So
Peter
maybe a jinx. Jay, not so much. Look, we'd seen quite a bit of stuff, as I say, on Twitter from Jay. You know, as I say, he'd raised loads of money for the Wrexham food banks, visited loads of local businesses, and he was posting on there. But I didn't realise that he never took a picture of himself anywhere, did he? So I didn't actually know what he looked like. So we were talking to him for a couple of minutes, and then he said who he was. And it was like, oh, I know who you are.
I know who you are.
Without knowing who you are. But again, another lovely guy. It was great to meet you. It was great to meet Peter. It was a lovely Saturday.
We also met two other people as well.
We did. We met, I forgot their names though.
Right, well, one, Ian.
Yes.
Ian Dougal.
Yeah.
He is actually a Wrexham lad.
Yes, Ian.
But he lives in London now. His wife is from Swansea.
Yes.
And he was with his dad, Roy Dougal, who actually still lives in Wrexham.
Yes.
So both lovely guys again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a great Saturday for meeting people.
I actually feel like I know Ian from somewhere. I don't know why. Mm. Maybe I've just seen him around at the games or
whatever. They came over to have a chat when I was at the bar. So Sian had a conversation, they talked about the podcast a little bit, and then I come over and I started re-having the same conversation. He goes, yeah, we know, we just said that to your wife.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, so I missed that one.
They didn't say the wife, they said Sian.
They did, yes.
Yes, I don't, some people do refer to me as Sian, not the wife.
Yeah, they do. Lovely Saturday.
It was so lovely. And, my brother was there as well. And my dad, not my dad, your dad.
my dad isn't your dad.
He's like my second dad, to be fair. So also, we appeared on Packers Without Borders podcast, episode 254.
We did.
Which was lovely.
Yeah, that was really good. We really enjoyed that. We would highly recommend people heading over and having a little watch. Listen.
Yeah, it's audio only.
Audio only. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the usual places. It's called Packers Without Borders, and we are on episode 254.
Yeah, it's not just about Wrexham. They talk about everything.
Yeah, but on the episode we're on,
we're obviously talking about Wrexham.
It's just us, a feature. A feature on us.
You lucky, lucky people.
Yeah, so head over and have a look at that one. We wanted to mention a few new locations. It's something that we're going to do. So we get analytics for our podcast of where new locations that have started listening to our podcast are. So we wanted to shout these new places out. So we got White Lake, Michigan, Vancouver, Winchester, that's in the UK, Arizona, and Salt Lake City. So welcome to all of you. You're all new people, whoever you are. Get in touch if you want. And I wanted to mention Pakistan as well, because for the last month to 5 weeks, we've actually been in the top 25 straight for 5 weeks. We're in the top 10 for quite a bit. So if you're in Pakistan and you are listening, hello to all you guys.
We've actually been listened to. This is just the podcast audio version. We've actually been listened to in 3,205 cities around the world.
Wow.
It's good, that, isn't it? And 90 countries and territories, or whatever you want to call
it.
It's good, though, isn't it?
That is good, yes. Yeah. So there we go. I suppose we've padded enough, and we need to start talking about the games a little bit, don't we?
Yeah.
So we'll start with Harrogate. So it was unchanged from the Morecambe game.
Which I wasn't surprised about.
No, I don't think that was a huge surprise that we were unchanged. You know, we had Mullin and Palmer back up front again.
Dynamic duo.
Obviously, the game ended 0-0. Spoiler alert. That was the 38th game in a row that we went undefeated when Mullin and Palmer started the game together. So that's 38 games in a row that we were unbeaten. Sorry, you've got hair which is coming from your head and sticking in the corner of your eye.
Oh.
Yeah, it's sort of really annoying me, so I had to pull that out. I'm really sorry.
Was that quite therapeutic, pulling a hair out?
A little bit. So 38 games in a row that we've started them to. We did sort of talk about, you know, even if it's just superstition, do we start them for the rest of the games? We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to the Tranmere game, I think, maybe. McLean was captain.
Yep, Captain McLean.
Captain McLean, yeah. We dish that about a bit, don't we? We've had a few captains.
He was a couple of weeks ago at the
Yeah, Paul Mullin's been captain. Ben Tozer's been captain. Luke Young's been captain. McLean's been captain. I think that's a bit odd, if I'm honest, to have four different people wearing the armband in one season. I find that a bit strange. But it is what it is. You know, we don't, you know, Luke was obviously the captain last season, pretty much played all of the games until the end of the season. He was the captain week in, week out. When Luke dropped off the radar a little bit, Ben was the captain, and he was the captain week in, week out. Now Ben's gone, and we've sort of dotted it about and moved it about a little bit. When Luke comes back, Luke wears... I don't know. I don't know if it's... We need a bit more consistency in that area, maybe just one. It's not a big deal.
No,
but
I do find when Luke Young's captain, though, he you can always see him at the beginning of the first whistle and the whistle after half time or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like jeering everybody up.
Yeah.
I don't really see that from anybody. Ben Tozer, maybe he's quite vocal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Luke Young's my captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain my captain. Yeah. The first half was a bit of a damp squib, really, wasn't it? I think it said it all. Moving into the second half, the first real chance we had was when Ollie had a shot. He cut in from the left-hand side into the middle. He had a shot, whizzed just past the post. And genuinely, I was up a little bit because I thought it was in. And I think it says it all that if you watch the official Wrexham AFC highlights for that game, the highlights actually start at 58 minutes.
And that's how bad it was.
I think that sort of says it all for the game, really.
Yeah.
I think that was quite accurate because I think when that happened, I think I turned to you and I said, we've waited 58 minutes for something to happen to sort of get us out of our seat and cheer a little bit. And that sort of backed up by the highlights, because before 58 minutes, there wasn't any. The highlights enough. Themselves... for that game, we're only 1 minute 47 seconds long. Do you know what? I'm not sure I've ever seen highlights that short from Wrexham, but I understand why they were that short, because there wasn't loads in the game that you could sort of grab onto and go, there was that, you know.
Yeah, there wasn't any
There
real
wasn't
chance.
Loads.
Yeah.
And to wait that long, look... I wasn't happy on Tuesday night, because to be honest, a team now to quantify this a little bit. Now Harrogate, if you split the table into home form and away form, prior to that game on Tuesday night, Harrogate was second in that table for away form. Right, so on paper you go, they're not the easiest team to beat. But when you drill down a little bit into Harrogate's sort of away form, they've beaten the teams that on paper you would expect them to beat. Well, maybe that doesn't always happen. They'd beaten Forest Green away. They'd beaten Sutton away. They'd beaten Grimsby away. You know, the teams that were down the bottom, they had picked up points elsewhere. Don't get me wrong. But they had, they'd beaten the teams you would expect them to beat.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe why, where other teams, you know, we haven't even beat the teams away from home that you would expect us to beat, you know. So,
or at home sometimes.
No, or at home sometimes. Yeah, that's very true. You know, so yes, there is, there, you know, it was maybe a slight concern, but at the end of the day, they were still 14th or 15th in the table. So it just infuriated me a little bit because I felt it was points dropped. You know, so I wasn't happy. We're definitely in control that, without really having any clear-cut chances. We had most of the possession. I think we kept pressing after that Ollie chance. Boyle had a header that was well saved sort of 10 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
And then disaster struck. McLean got booked.
Yes. He just had to wait until the final whistle of that game
He just had to get through that game.
I have seen a lot of comments, though, saying, oh, yeah, he took one for the team and stuff like that. And it's like, well, did he, though, really?
I think it was definitely, you're right. It was a booking that was what you would quantify as a...
It's twice you've said that now.
It is, yeah. I don't think I've ever said that word before, and I've said it twice. Maybe I enjoyed saying it so much the first time.
Your brain was like, say it again.
Say it again. Say it again, Ryan. I think, yeah, looking at it, it is one of them that you go, he's taken one for the team there, because they were breaking, and he just, you could see him running up behind him, and you were just like, oh, do it, don't do it, but you got to do it, but don't do it. It's one of them that a lot of people will look at and go, it's just a stupid booking. They didn't really show anything, I don't think, Harrogate, that they really were going to go and score, but you never know. And, you know, it's one of them that you've just got to, sometimes you've just got to, like you say, take one for the team and get booked. Missing him for two games after that, it's a massive loss, I think, in the middle. It almost coincided with Tom O'Connor being back, so he could have gone into the middle. Not quite. It wasn't the fitness level wasn't quite there. I think he's a huge miss, even though it's only for two games. I think it's a big miss.
I just think, though, now you're saying if it was the beginning of the season, maybe it wouldn't be so drastic. But the fact that we are in our final eight games, I just think it is a bit of a...
A bit of a
pooper.
Yeah, it is a little bit. And, you know, I was disappointed that it had happened. And I don't want to see us lose anyone, especially really pivotal players. But, you know, it's happened now.
It is what it is, isn't it? You know, we can cry about it, but it's not going to change it.
I think you could probably look back at some of James McLean's yellow cards that he's picked up in that 10.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure the one on Tuesday is the most avoidable. I think he's done something that he felt was the right thing to do in that situation on Tuesday. Some of the other ones he's picked up...
Questionable.
Yeah, for being a bit mouthy and just arguing decisions. How many yellow cards has he picked up for just...
Quite a few.
Yeah, he has. And you know, so Tuesdays, yes, it was avoidable in a way, but at the same time, I'd be more bothered about some of the other yellow cards he's picked up in the run-up to this 10th one.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the 10th one was one of the more necessary, would you call it? Maybe. I don't know. But look, yeah, like you say, it is what it is.
He was out for the Tranmere game and he'll be out for the Grimsby game, which is going to be a tough game as well.
It is.
But obviously we'll talk about that a bit more when we do our pre-match review.
I feel like my shoulders have sunk. But come on, let's get through it. Luke Young had a bit of a chance outside the box. He had a shot. Keeper saved it well.
I'm good. I wish that I'd gone in for him.
I do, but it looked like a good save. to be honest, it was sort of in a nice position for the keeper. If he wouldn't,
it went straight at him, didn't it?
It was sort of straight at him. Yeah. He had to put his hands up. It meant he could do a nice little dive, and it looked pretty. But I think it was never going in. That wasn't, you know, it was what you would call in football a nice one for the keeper. That it shows him off a little bit that he's made a decent save.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was never going to let that one in. Do you know what I mean? So it was, you know, it was one of them. And then the last kick of the game, the ball goes down the middle and it falls to the one man that you would want it to fall to. In that situation, Paul Mullin, he is not completely one-on-one, but he's got a clear shot on goal. He's inside the box. It bounces up a little bit at him, and he just blazed it over the bar. And I think that probably summed up the whole game. If the footballing gods come to you and say, I am going to give you one chance.
Yep.
I'm going to give you one chance with the last kick of the game. Up to you, who do you want it to fall to? And there's only one person that you want it to fall to. It fell to him and he blazed it over. You know, you sort of go that, and like I say, that just summed up the game for me.
Yeah.
You know, it just summed it up that your best striker, you get a chance inside the box and it just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It's not even on target. It doesn't work the goalkeeper. It was awkward because it bounced up for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it summed everything up for me. You know, I just think we did enough to warrant something. The shots on target are concerning. For me, though, we had 4 shots on target all game. Out of 16 shots, only 4 of them were on target. 62% possession. Like I say, Harrogate never looked like producing anything. They had 0 shots on target. So 2 points dropped. It is, isn't it? It's 2 points dropped for me. You know, you're at home, you've got the crowd behind you, and it's just like, just get it done.
Yeah.
Just get the job done and move on with your life. You know, I don't know. It just...
Should we move on to the tramway?
Oh, yeah, let's move on to another cracker, shall we?
Yeah, so there was 2 changes in the starting 11 this game.
There was, yeah.
So we had Young in for a suspended McLean.
Yes.
Which I was happy because I like Lee Young.
It was the only... I can't speak. I've just lost all ability. I think it was the only logical change to bring Luke Young in. You know, McLean was suspended. All it's a weird one, though, isn't it? Because up until a few weeks ago, it wouldn't have been Young coming in for McLean. It would have been Mendy coming in for McLean over on the left. We've all of a sudden moved McLean into the middle, and we've got a massive headache when he gets suspended because George Evans is out, James Jones is out. You know, and it just created another headache that maybe we didn't need. But it's the only logical choice for me.
This one was a bit of a weird one. We're not sure why this happened, but Fletcher was starting... with Mullen instead of Palmer.
Yes. So I think the question here is, I think it's a fitness question for me.
Okay.
We know Fletcher's not going to play week in, week out. We know at his age, he maybe doesn't have that fitness level to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, I'm not sure Ollie has the fitness level to be playing 3 games in 7 days.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. I'm not sure Ollie's got that in him at the moment. Now, if he has got that in him, to do that, and he was fit and he was ready to go, I don't understand the switch. Because we had played okay on Tuesday without producing anything.
Yep.
We played well the Saturday before with him starting.
Yep.
For me, I just think you just keep going with it. Unless there is a bit of a fitness issue that he can't play
that
many games in a row.
That's the only thing I can think of the reason why to put Ollie on the bench and not start him, because you know, like everybody's talking about it, that we've not lost a game, well, in 38 games or whatever it was.
When they've started together.
So yeah. It's like, it must be, Parky's not that silly to think that, oh, do you know what? We've not lost 38 games with Ollie and Mullen starting. Let's start lecture today.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Look, Tom O'Connor was on the bench.
He was.
George Evans has been back in training.
Yes. Oh my God, did you see the pictures of him on Twitter?
No.
He has got the most gorgeous side profile ever. Honestly, he was like...
Has he got like a coin side profile? Like you can put him on a coin.
He'd obviously been running.
Have you lost it now?
Yeah, just thinking about George Evans. No, I'm joking. He must have been running because his cheeks were a bit fluffed. Fluffed?
Flushed. Flushed.
He was obviously on the training ground. Whoever takes the pictures of them training and whatever just took this picture of his side profile and it was like, my God, he's like a handsome chap.
He is underwear model level of...
He did look like he was... You know when the models like look to the right like that?
Looking off into the distance.
Yeah, it was like that, but with minus the hand.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah.
Maybe.
At least we know George will have something
To move on to
once his football career is over.
Depends how long his career goes on. Might have lost it by then.
Yeah, but he'll just get, you know, he'll be what do they call him? A silver fox.
A silver fox. Anyway, what are we talking about? look, again, it was a disastrous start, wasn't it?
Oh.
You know, we've mentioned this before on the podcast, conceding goals in the first 5 minutes, the first 10 minutes, usually away from home. But we started doing it at home now. We're on the run-in, started conceding nice early goals. There is one positive from conceding an early goal for me. You've got a lot of the game to put it right.
Yes.
You know, that is one positive. If you come to me and say, would you rather concede a goal in the first 5 minutes or the last 5 minutes? It is definitely the first 5 minutes because you've got so much time to put it right. Yeah. If there was a third option for not conceding a goal at all, I would be going for that one.
Yes.
Obviously.
Or we get 500 goals.
Okay, 500, yeah.
Oh, okay, that was, yeah.
Over-egg the pudding.
I just got a bit excited.
Should have gone with
statistics.
Five.
I think I was going to, but then I just went
100 on the end of it, yeah, as well. look, it was a long ball forward by none other than Connor Jennings. I knew he was going to cause us problems. For anyone who doesn't know, he used to play for us a few years ago.
He got
booed a little bit. Yeah, he did. To be honest, Connor's a lovely guy, and he didn't get booed as much as...
You'd like.
No. He didn't get booed as much as other former players coming to us has been.
Yeah.
But he did get booed a little bit. Like long ball forward. Cannon was the last man. Now, a lot of people going,
why
was Cannon the last man? Now, Cannon was the last man because it came off the back of one of our corners. So from our corner... You push your big men up.
Yeah.
So you've got Will Boyle's up, Owen O'Connell's up, you know, everyone's up. And then you usually put a small man back. So Barney usually stays back or Andy Cannon usually stays back because they're small. They're not necessarily going to affect a corner, you know, very much. So we tend to lead them back. So that's why he was the last man. Unfortunately for Andy, he had... two opportunities to deal with that. It bounced up, and if he'd been set right, he could have headed it back to Arthur.
Do you think Arthur should have come out a bit and kind of...
No, not that far. I'm glad he didn't. We'd be talking about Arthur going walkabout again if he'd have come out any further. And he had a chance to sort of nod it back to Arthur. He wasn't quite set, and the ball was a bit too far away from him. He then had the chance to clear it. He swung a leg at it and kicked air. And then the lad nipped in. A decent finish, to be fair to him. Put it past Arthur. One of their only shots on target. I think they only had three in the whole game. So we're 1-0 down, and it's another uphill struggle from that point. It was a horrible goal to concede. It was a very bottom half of the table sort of goal. Long ball up to a striker, puts it away. 1-0. You know, it wasn't pretty, but sometimes it doesn't need to be pretty. It just
a goal.
Just needs to get the job done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was. And you know, I don't know. Our first decent opportunity was Young's shot, which was well saved down to the keeper's right.
Again.
Yeah. Kind of made up for his mistake as well. Oh, did he? So they had a free kick over on the far side from us. The ball swung in, sort of bounced. One of their players headed it towards goal. Arthur completely didn't have it. Cannon cleared it off the line.
Did they bump into each other?
They did a little bit. Yeah. So I think he very much made up for his mistake. That could have easily been 2-0. And that was their second shot on target. O'Connell headed straight at the keeper from a corner. I remember that happening. That was a bit tame and boring. I've watched the highlights back and Mark got a bit excited when that happened on the commentary. But it was nothing, really.
Who's Mark on the pitch? Mark Griffiths.
Talking about corners, whose corners do you prefer? Do you prefer Luke Young's? Sorry, if everyone's wondering why I keep getting up and moving, we've got a bit of a problem with the camera at the moment, so I have to keep sort of fiddling with something. I do apologise. It's very off-putting, I'm sure it is, when you're watching it.
It's not if you're listening to
it. It's not if you're listening. No, I just probably didn't even need to mention. Whose corners do you prefer?
Young.
Okay, didn't even need to do a list. Luke Young, Elliot Lee, James McLean. You prefer Luke Young's?
McLean's okay, but I think he kicks it too hard towards the goal. Towards the players
in the middle.
Yeah. But Luke Young just seems to have, you know, obviously it didn't help us at the Tranmere game because we obviously didn't score anything from him. But usually, you know, he's quite accurate. And I just think he's really good.
Do you prefer Luke?
I do. Can we just bring Luke on? If Luke's not in the top 11, starting 11,
yeah.
Can we just bring him on for corners? Is that not allowed?
I'll be honest with you. We could do with two subs, I think. We could do with two roll-in subs. Luke to come on for corners. And Ben to come on for throw-ins.
Yes, we miss those throw-ins.
That was another point I was going to make. You know, we're getting the ball in them sort of areas. We seem to be getting loads of throw-ins. And you're looking at it and you're going, wish Ben was on.
Yeah, Cleworth seemed to take most of the throw-ins.
Not very long,
Saturday.
Though, are they?
He's not Ben Tozer, but he did all right.
I wanted to talk about the crossing a little bit, because everything that we seem to do on Saturday seemed to be overhit. So a lot of the crosses were way too long. We were overhitting everything.
Yeah.
And then the knock-on effect of that was the people in the box started to move a little bit deeper towards the back post. But then what the problem that creates is when we started to get the ball in the right area, there was no one there because of all of the previous overhit crosses. They dropped a bit further back. So nothing, it just didn't work for us. We were overhitting crosses, so the guys moved further back.
Yeah.
We were then getting the crosses right, but there was no one there because they dropped a bit further back. They came back into the middle and then we started overhitting crosses again. And so nothing came of anything, it felt like, on Saturday. I think Barney's a little off at the moment as well. I don't think he's quite on it. I was quite surprised, and I think I said to you before the game, I've got a feeling Bolton will start. Just to that little bit of extra pace, just to knock it past people and start running, which Barney doesn't necessarily do. He's very good at what he does and he takes people on. Bolton's a bit more no-nonsense, Bosch, get it down the line, let's chase after it and let's get the ball in. They've both got their merits. Overall, across the course of the whole, you know, since they've come in, I prefer Barney.
The whole month.
I prefer Barney out of the two. But I think Barney's been slightly off recently, and I think I would have liked to have seen Bolton come
in. He's not long come back after an injury, has he?
No, Barney. He hasn't.
So
no,
he might be having a few niggly things.
Maybe. And it just felt like Saturday was the opportunity to give Bolton a few more minutes than he necessarily got, because he came on at the end, didn't he?
He was pretty good, though.
Yeah. Mullin put quite a tame header past the post. Again, commentators got quite excited about that one, but it, to be honest, I've seen it back a few times. It was quite tame, so I don't think that was ever gonna sort of trouble the keeper, even if it was on target.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to talk about.
What's that, Ryan?
Quick free kicks. So we keep getting free kicks in decent areas. By decent areas, what I mean is an area where you could get across into the box, get some, load the box up, get all your big men in there, load it in and try and get some in, yeah. Either direct header on target, fingers crossed, or, you know, something from a second ball, yeah. Where it gets knocked down and you get shot off.
Yeah,
shot off. What we seem to be doing at the moment, for whatever reason, is we're obsessed with quick free kicks, because the sort of team that we are is we want to play football. We want to knock it about and we want to try, yeah, and tire them out and we want to create an opportunity. Mm-hmm. For me, a lot of them free kicks on Saturday were already in a position to knock it into the box. What we are then doing is we're playing a quick free kick and we're working really hard for the next 2 minutes to try and create an opportunity where we get the ball in the box.
Yep.
That opportunity is there. You have it. Take your time. Take a step back. Put the free kick down. Get the ball into the box. We just don't do that. And it frustrates the life out of me.
You would never have guessed that.
Oh, it's no, it just like, just stop. Play the ball into the box. It seems crazy to me that you spend the 2 minutes after trying to, whoa, it goes out to the right, out to the left. You're trying to manufacture a chance to get the ball in the box. But if you rewind it 2 minutes, you had that opportunity to get it in the box.
Yeah.
And we just don't seem to take it. We've got big men. Boyle can header.
Yep.
O'Connell can header.
Yep.
Max is an adverse to a header. He can get up there as well.
He does header the ball.
Fletcher was on the pitch. How many goals has he scored with his head since he's come to us? You know, we've got plenty of people who can get up and get something on target with their head.
Yeah.
Take the opportunity as it is presented to you.
Do you think if they had taken the opportunity, it would have been a different result?
Impossible to say, isn't it? It's impossible to say.
It
but
is, obviously.
I think we had a good 3 or 4 chances to just stop, reset, get the ball in the box, and let's try and get something. Who knows? Nothing might have come
but
for it.
But then you kind of say, well, if Ollie and Mullen were starting, would we have lost? And yeah.
You might have scored 4 goals from them 4 opportunities. You might have not got your head on the ball on any of them. It's impossible to say. But I just think for a team that are not getting many shots on target, getting the ball into the box, into a dangerous area, is maybe what we're missing.
Mm.
And maybe that's why we're not getting many shots on target, because we're not taking that opportunity to get the ball in the box,
yeah,
when it is presented to us. I don't know. I'm not a manager, but it's just what I saw.
Yeah.
And it felt like we're just way too quick to go, right, let's get the ball moving again, and instead of taking that opportunity as it presents itself. Mm. But yeah, there we go. Look, we changed the shape in the second half. Palmer came on for Boyle, so we went to 4-3-3. There's very much, there's two camps on this, really, where a lot of people go, why aren't we playing 4-3-3 all the time? Why aren't we playing 4 at the back all the time? It didn't necessarily work on Saturday. We chucked up on an extra striker. I was quite surprised that Jack Marriott wasn't on the bench.
Is he injured, maybe?
Not sure. But, you know, we didn't have that option to get that another striker on if we needed it. You know, Dalby replaced Fletcher. Where do we go? Dalby's not really on it at the moment, I don't think. He's trying. He plugs away.
He is the top assist, though, this season.
What, Dalby?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just saying.
Really?
That's what it says on BBC Sport.
Okay, I'm not sure how accurate that is, but Yeah, so I think it brings us back to Fletcher off the bench, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he just...
It makes sense.
I just think he makes such a...
massive impact.
A massive impact off the bench. You know, when your team's tired out a little bit, nothing seemed to work for him on Saturday for me.
No.
And
he did, like, he did try and have a few chances, but when he was, like, near the goal, he was trying to pass it to Mullen, and Mullen just, he just couldn't get there quick enough.
No.
So, yeah.
I don't think...
Missed timings, I think, on Saturday. Yeah,
Jordan then came on for Young to go a bit more attacking-minded, and Bolton came on for Barney. Lee had that deflected shot as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where it felt like he should have hit it the first time, and he didn't. He sort of stuttered, then he hit it again, and it hit the defender's leg. I think maybe... He just, that little stutter allowed the defender to get in the right position to deflect it. Nearly went in. It was dipping under the bar and the keeper had to put it over. But I think when things like that happen, you just sort of sit back and you go, it's not our day today, is
it?
And time was, I had quite a bit to drink, as you well know. And it made the game go...
I blame my brother.
It made the game go so much quicker. Having that much to drink.
You're not making a habit of that.
No, I know. But it was like, and the problem is when you're chasing the game and every time you look at the clock, like 6 or 7 minutes has gone. It's just like, oh no, it's just not going
to
happen for us.
I said that to your dad yesterday, actually, when we were walking, not yesterday, on Saturday, when we were walking back to the car. I said, when you're 1-0 down, you kind of, the game just seems to fly by.
Yeah, it does.
But when you're trying to hold on to the goals and not
so
let you not concede. It goes so slow. It's so
it
weird.
Does. Welcome to football. Tom O'Connor returned on 80 minutes, didn't he?
Still got his tash.
Still got the tash. Where do you play Tom O'Connor now he's back? Do you put him back?
On the pitch.
Do you slot him back into the defence where he was playing before he got injured on that left-hand side?
Mm.
Or do you...
In replace of who?
It'll be Will Boyle. So it's Will Boyle
who's been playing. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Hang on, I haven't given you option two yet. Or with the lack of midfield sort of players that we have at the moment, do you put him back into midfield, which we signed him as a midfielder and where he played for us up until he started playing in defence? Where does he go for you?
Who would he be replacing in midfield?
Either Cannon or Young, as it currently stands, or McLean when he is back from suspension.
I'd have to say Boyle.
So you'd put him back into defence, would
you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just wanted to know what your...
It's only because I like McLean and Cannon. I think that, and obviously Luke Young as well.
Okay, yeah.
No, I don't like Will Boyle. God, don't get me wrong.
No.
But I just prefer...
He's very composed on the ball. And I think that's where him and Will Boyle differ so much.
Yeah, he seems
Will definitely likes to lump it forward a lot more.
Yeah.
He can play a pass into midfield. I'm not saying he can't, but I think his first instinct when there's a bit of pressure on him...
Get rid of the ball.
Is get rid of it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Tom's instinct when he's got a bit of pressure is, I think he's just got a bit more about him to look around and pick a pass a little bit more.
Yeah.
And perhaps that gets us forward.
Yeah.
I love Tom in midfield though. So it's a difficult one for me. And I don't think Will Boyle has done much wrong.
No, like I said, it's not because I don't like him.
No.
It's because
It is difficult because we seem to have quite a settled back three at the moment. And then, you know, when they're not really doing anything wrong. And then all of a sudden, you know, we do sort of complain about this rotation and moving players around. When there is no real need to, should we be forcing him back into the team? When nothing really is going wrong in that defence at the moment, apart from, all right, we've conceded a goal, but, you know...
That's quite a big thing.
You know, it's one of them. We had 25 shots on Saturday, but only 4 of them were on target. That equates to 16%. Of shots.
Like Carol Vorderman.
Yeah, that's 16%. Yeah. Okay. Now, Tranmere had 7 shots, 3 on target.
Which is how many percent?
That's 43%.
Yes.
Now, you know, Tranmere, I'm not really bothered about Tranmere. I had a look at the percentage of shots on target based on shots of the teams in and around us from the weekend. Okay.
Well, Stockport haven't played yet this weekend.
No, I took it from their game on their previous game.
Yeah, Thursday.
So Mansfield were 40% of their shots were on target.
Mm-hmm.
Stockport, 45% of their shots were on target. MK Dons, 71% of their shots were on target. And Crewe, 40% of their shots were on target. We're at 16. So I don't think it's hard to see. 40 to 45%. Seems to be
about right.
About the average for teams in the top five to
and
be
we're
hitting.
16.
We're on 16%. Okay, it's slightly better than Tuesday. It was slightly better on Tuesday, which was 25%. Yeah. When we beat Morecambe, 40%. When we beat Accrington, 50%. So I think you're 40 to 50%. You tend to win games.
Mm.
Below that, 25%, we drew. 16%, we lost. So I think our shots on target, for me, are a concern.
Yeah.
They're definitely a concern because you don't get shots on target, you don't score. You don't score, you don't win. So I know that's very basic.
It's true, though.
But it's just a fact. And yeah. It's the way it is. So it does concern me a little bit. Mullin and Palmer don't start and we lose, you know, obviously.
I just don't think it's a coincidence. I just can't. Yeah, I just don't think it's a coincidence.
No, I don't. I don't. I really don't. And there'll be a lot of people going, don't be ridiculous. And I don't care if it's, I'm not a superstitious person. I don't care if it's superstition or not.
The
stats speak for themselves.
I was gonna say, it's not a superstition, it's fact.
Just play them.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, just play them.
Rest of the season.
Yes,
the
please.
Last eight games.
It's the first time we've failed to score in back-to-back games this season in the league. First time this season. On the run-in, not many games to go, and this is the time that we choose to do that.
So stressful.
Frustrating. Yeah. Like I said at the start, it's been such a frustrating week. We've been to two games at the racecourse, and we haven't seen us score once. I can't remember the last time that I can honestly say that. I can't, you know, where even when we've been poor, we've scored.
Yeah.
And to watch two games in a row where we haven't scored, so frustrating for me.
So but. Other results from this week. So Stockport played Salford on Thursday.
Yeah.
And they drew 2-2. I watched that game and I was gunning for Salford, to be honest.
Yeah, they were 2-0 up, Salford.
They were, but then bloody Stockport.
Yeah, they came back and got points.
So, yeah, so after being 2 down at half-time, it was 2-2 to them, so obviously...
2-2 to them?
2-2 to them.
It's not 2-2 to anyone, it's a draw.
2-2? 2-2?
Yeah.
2-2?
Not to them. It's 2-0 to them. It's 2-2 to no one. It's a draw.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, Mansfield won 5-1 at home to Bradford on Saturday. And MK Dons beat Crewe 3-1 at home on Saturday as well.
Yeah, it's handy that Crewe dropped points.
Yep.
Not so good that MK Dons picked up points.
We're still third in the league, though.
We are. Mansfield are top 5 points clear now.
Oh, yeah,
level with Stockport in second. We're level with Stockport in second, but they've got a game in hand over us. We're level on points with MK Dons as well in fourth, but we've got a game in hand on them. And we're 3 ahead of Crewe in fifth. So some people who got in touch, Wrexham World, lots of teams go defensive in the final quarter of the season. Very true. Wrexham needs to be able to break teams who are happy with a point. 100%. Mm-hmm. I think Tranmere probably came and were happy with a point. And
they were celebrating like
they
just won
ran
the FA
back
Cup.
Up the road with all three of them. So, you know, yeah, but you're completely right. We need to learn how to break teams like that down.
Cool Fiction Books. Many thanks, guys. I'm sorry to say that if we keep on playing like this, auto promotion is going out the window. The only good thing was that finally Parky played 4 in the back line in the second half, which he should have done. Been doing for the past month or two. The opposition were easy beats, but we could only hit 25% of our shots on target. If that's not good enough for a team hunting for promotion. We should have won 4-0. Not happy. I love Wrexham, but honestly, they played crap today. PJ and Sydney.
Thanks, PJ. David Middleton, what happens when you don't start Mullin and Ollie together? Yeah, you cannot start Fletcher and Mullin. Similar players, crap midfield, no one directing midfield play. Need Bolton on and Barney off.
I would like, I like Barney, but I would like to see Bolton.
Yeah, I think on. I think he needs some time. Yeah,
Brian Farnett.
Yeah.
Is that Brian Farnett? Ryan Barnett?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
That was bleep. I'm not going to say that. I normally, I'm normally pretty philosophical even Tuesday night, but that was poor today. Where was the fight and the energy? We wasted the January window as an opportunity to kick on. I don't think we are ready for League One at all.
Maybe not. So, remainder of the season.
Eight games coming up left.
Yeah.
Four away, four at home.
What? Where are you? Where's your head?
I'm still optimistic. You know, we're currently third in the league. We've just got to pull our fingers out. We've got a tough game next Saturday. This Saturday, sorry, not next Saturday.
Yeah, we have. We'll talk about that in a second.
We're away at Blundell Park, I think it is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You've written it down there. So, let's talk about that.
I'm positive. Look, I am positive, but...
If... Parky plays Ollie and Mullen.
I'd forgot who it was. I think it was, it was Wrexham World, who rightly said that teams are going to go defensive. There are teams that are going to go defensive.
We're their FA Cup.
Not just that. Grimsby on Saturday potentially are going to be quite defensive. They're down the bottom. They are picking up points. They're potentially going to go a little bit defensive. We're going to have to work to break them down.
It's not going to be a walk in the park.
No, not at all. And there's going to be other teams that are going to do similar sort of thing. They're going to be happy with a point in their situation. We've got to learn how to break them down. I'm still positive. Please do not let us end up in the playoffs. I don't want to go through the playoffs.
Would you go and watch the playoffs?
Of course I would. But do I want to? No. Absolutely not. I really don't want to. But
so isn't it sort of a revenge game with Grimsby as well? Because obviously we've played them at home.
Yeah, we beat them. You're talking about the playoffs in the National League. Yeah, I think that sticks in your mind, doesn't it? It definitely does.
Well, hopefully that'll spur the lads on. What was the score when we played them at home? I can't remember.
3-0.
To us?
It was, yeah. Yeah. Maybe read the notes. It's all in there. So, do you want to crack on?
Yeah, so Grimsby... Grimsby are, obviously, it's a League Two match on Saturday, the 23rd of March. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock, which means that iFollow is only available to international fans. We're away, obviously, at Blundell Park. The last game we played back in September, we won 3-0.
Yeah, goals from Ollie.
Which obviously Ryan just mentioned.
Yeah, from Ollie, Boyle and Elliot Lee scored them goals in that one.
Ollie Palmer on starting 11. Was he on starting 11?
He was, yeah.
So, let's just say that. So on Saturday, they drew 1-1 away to Gillingham. They're unbeaten in 6 games.
They are indeed.
Their last 5, 1-2, drawn 3. Season, they've won 8, drawn 15 and lost 14. They are 21st on 39 points. Their top scorer is Danny Rose, who has scored 12 goals for them.
Yes, he has. Look, Grimsby's always a tough
Danny
game
Rose.
For us. For all the seasons that we played them in the National League, always a tough game.
Yeah.
Always just don't be fooled by their league position. Like Sian just said, they're unbeaten in 6. They are down the bottom of the table, but they are starting to pull away from that bottom too.
Yeah.
They won't want to rest on their laurels. They will want to continue to pull away from that bottom too. So don't think for a second that they're going to be sat back with their feet up on Saturday. It's going to be a really tough game, this is. Prediction, Sian.
I think I'm going to go with 2-1.
2-1 Wrexham?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 1-0 Wrexham.
Yeah?
Yes.
We're sort of like, we're not going big.
No.
No.
What's the point? What's the point? We can't score at home. So
that's true.
Quick shout out for Dragon Chat. So it's a mental health peer support group. They run 2 weekly Zoom calls. One on a Monday at 8 p.m. for women and one on Thursday at 7 p.m. for men. The best thing to do is follow Dragon Chat Steve Lloyd on Twitter. It's a great service for both. So yeah, definitely check that out. If you want to get in touch on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter or TikTok, or you can email us at me, the wife, and WrexhamAFC@gmail.com. Quick quiz.
Can I just read out these two comments
that
I've just found? I'm guessing this is a Tranmere fan. Oxton SWA, how delightful to hear Wrexham's three-season fan club boo them off. Talk about arrogant and entitled. See you next season, because based on that, you are going nowhere.
Why are you reading these out?
Oh dear, did you lose? How sad. Never mind. Just to point out that if you look at the league table since Adkins took over, we would be third. And in the last month alone, we have beaten both Mansfield and Stockport. You lot just seem to think that you turn up and teams will just let you win because you're FC Disney. Well, you are wrong, aren't you? See you next season.
Right. Okay. I'm moving on. I don't know why you've chosen to read them out, but anyway,
the guy is an idiot or woman. I don't know. Yeah. You're an idiot.
Well, he had the last laugh, didn't he? So
yeah. Edit that bit out.
Okay. Yeah. Quiz. Just to round it off. We always do it. Feels like quite flat this week, yeah. But let's get it done.
Okay.
This is Wrexham in numbers. I've done this week.
I don't like these ones.
Number one. What was the combined age of our starting 11 on Saturday? 293. 303 or 313?
313.
Incorrect.
No idea.
303 is our combined age. How many shots on target have we had in total in our last 10 games? 53, 63 or 73?
53.
It is 53. You knew it'd be the lowest one, didn't you? I was going to make that the highest so it would throw you off a little bit. But, number three. What was the combined number of our shirt numbers in our starting 11 on Saturday? Just as a clue for you, if it was 1 to 11, yeah, the total would be 66. Okay.
Thanks for that little bit of a maths lesson.
No, what 1 to 11? Why? Did you know that?
Well, I know that, yeah. I know 11.
You know 1 plus 2 plus 3, you instantly knew that was 66, no. Did you? No, of course you didn't. Stop talking rubbish.
Well, I know 11 times 6 is 66, don't I?
Why would it be 11 times 6?
I don't know.
Stop talking. I'm just giving you a helping hand. Okay. Total. About 11. I know 6 times 11 is it. I also know 33 times 2 is 66.
All right.
Neither of them sums matter.
All right.
Okay.
I'm not very good at maths if you were.
255, 265 or 275?
265.
Incorrect. It was 255. Number four. How many bookings have we received in our last 10 games? Just as a little helping hand as well, Will Boyle's 2 yellow cards against MK Dons count as 2. Okay, so first yellow, second yellow.
So it counts as 2.
Two.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Is it 11, 16 or 21?
21.
Incorrect. It's 11.
Is it?
Yeah, only 11 yellow cards in our last 10 games.
I should have guessed it was 11.
The last one. How many goals have we scored in our last 10 games? Is it 12? Is it 15? Or is it 20?
15.
It is not 15. It is 12.
Oh, my God.
So I just wanted to highlight a few things in that, you know, as a sort of discussion point. The fact that in 10 games, our last 10 league games.
Oh, you're not taking the mick out of me.
No, no, no. Oh. In our last 10 league games, we've only scored 12 goals. Which it seems quite poor. You know, we're not picking up as many bookings as people think. We're averaging 1 a game.
That's just James McLean.
Yeah, I know, yeah. yeah, and that was it, really. And shots on target, 53 in the last 10 games. There have been some games where we've had quite a few shots on target.
So that's 53 on shots on target.
In 10 games.
But they've only translated into 12 goals.
Correct. Yes.
Gosh.
But that's only 5. That only averages at just over 5 a game. Mm. For a team in our position, 5 shots on target a game doesn't seem enough to me.
Yeah.
And given the fact that, two of them games we scored one in two of them games we scored four in one game, and we scored three in another, and we had plenty of shots in them two games.
Yeah.
So if you take them two games out, it's even worse. Yeah. You know, over eight games, it's even worse. So, yeah, I just think we need to be looking to put it right. I'm still positive. I still think we're going up. How? I don't know.
Not by the playoffs.
Might end up mid-table. Who knows? No, I'm joking. No, I'm positive.
You've got to remain but positive.
I think
otherwise.
Saturday now is the perfect opportunity for us to kickstart the rest of our season.
On Saturday, you said Tranmere is a big game for us. And
it
I was
is.
Like, Grimsby is a big game for us.
No.
And then it'll be Colchester. It's a big game for us.
I just think it's a good opportunity to kick on and to kickstart
the season. I think
every
single game we've got left of the season.
But
tough.
winning role's got to start somewhere. So
why couldn't it have happened earlier this season?
It didn't, did it?
Not so, eight games left.
So let's get it done on Saturday.
Let's get it done.
Come on, me and you.
We'll do it.
I'll go up front. You go in goal. Let's get it done. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.